Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
Welcome to Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. The recent deaths of Siva Balasubramaniam and A. Ganapathy have once again raised public outcry that not enough is being done to address deaths or injuries that lead to deaths that happen in police custody. Why do custodial deaths persist? And what can be done? Tonight on the show, let's begin our conversation by speaking to lawyer Yohendran Nadarajan. He's the director of Eliminating Deaths and Abuse in Custody Together, or better known by the acronym EDICT. Yohendran, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Now, data in Malaysia, in all aspects, seems to be a bit of an issue, but in particular for custodial deaths, not a lot of data, particularly disaggregated data, is known. So I'm wondering whether you have a better sense of the extent of the problem of custodial deaths in Malaysia, not just in terms of how many deaths, Yohendra, but also in terms of patterns of how these deaths occur.
Okay, basically getting information about that in custody has always been an issue in Malaysia. And the last time we had statistics with regards to death in custody was in 2018, whereby the Home Minister, in a reply to YB Kasturi Pato on 30th July 2018, said that there were 140 deaths from 2008 to 2018 in the span of 10 years. There was 140 deaths, whereby 22 were foreigners, 34 were Indians, which is 24%. Foreigners were 15%. Chinese were 28 persons, which is 20%. Where else? Malays actually are the most, which is 53 persons, which comes up to close to 38%. That's in custody, in police custody. As far as death in custody for jail is concerned, there was a for the year 2013 to 2017, again, an answer in Parliament by the Home Minister, he said that 1,293 persons had died, whereby 55% were actually Malays, 16% were Chinese, 13% were Indians, and 12% were foreigners. So basically, we can see that death in custody doesn't necessarily mean just the police, but it also means somebody who dies in mental hospital or in prison. And that numbers are quite shocking, because nobody should actually die, you know, especially when it comes to being held in lockup. When somebody walks into a police station, why is there a need for them to come out in a body bag?
Just sort of jump in there. So, sure. You know, in any number of cases, we've had the police explain that the person was sick, for instance, or had a heart attack. I mean, people do die of all kinds of reasons. In terms of the cause of death, you know, whether it was suspicious circumstances, the result of abuse potentially, or it was natural causes like a disease. How do you begin to disaggregate the numbers in terms of causes?
Okay, as far as causes, also most of the time when it's reported in Parliament, most of the time it's natural death, health reasons, heart attacks, pneumonia, AIDS, you know, those kind of things are reported. But actually, when you go into the crux of the matter, when you do a proper investigation, then you find out that sometimes there are more than meets the eye, you know. And most of the time, only when somebody does an inquiry into the death of a person in custody, then you actually get to find the causes of that.
Right. To what extent, Yohendra, quickly. To what extent are those inquiries driven by families? That if families report and families complain, then you'll have an investigation. If families don't, or, you know, who passively accept these the fact of the death of their loved ones, then you don't have an investigation.
Okay, let's come back to the law. How an inquiry is made. Basically, Chapter 32 of the Criminal Procedure Code, which is actually Sections 328 to 341A of the Criminal Procedure Code, it sets out inquiries into debt. And basically, Section 328 defines causes of debt. And actually, the CPC, the Section 334, mandates any person who dies in police custody, mental hospital, or prison, any such information of such debt must be intimated to the nearest magistrate. So by law, actually, when somebody dies in custody, doesn't matter if it's police custody, mental hospital, asylum, or prison, such information must be brought to the nearest magistrate. But now, it is the coroner's court, which is presided by a sessions court judge. So it's mandatory to hold an inquiry into a debt, especially if it's in police custody.
Right. But are there limitations to that, Yohendra, in terms of the coroner's court?
Okay. The problem is whether the coroners conduct their and hold their inquiry or not. That's another matter. But for us, as EDIC, a watchdog NGO, we try to monitor and see that every case which is brought to our attention, it is and we will pursue the matter and to ensure that an inquiry or an inquest be carried out at the coroner's court.
Sometimes a quick follow-up about something you said. So you did say that you gave us a breakdown, as per the answer in Parliament, a breakdown of the number, the ethnicities of the persons who have died in custody. And in terms of absolute numbers, Malays seem to make up the highest number of custodial deaths. But I'm wondering, in terms of percentage, whether ethnic Indians and foreigners are disproportionately represented in terms of the number of deaths in custody, 24% of Indians within the time frame that you mentioned. Does race matter when looking at the disaggregated data of custodial deaths?
I don't think race matters, because whatever happens, it's an individual's life that has been taken. So it doesn't matter if he's Indian, he's Chinese, he's Malay. We are all Malaysians. It doesn't matter that somebody has died, somebody's son, somebody's daughter, somebody's father, somebody has died in police custody. So race for me doesn't matter. It's a Malaysian problem. All Malaysians should stand up and voice out against this injustice.
Yeah, but Yohendra, I think the question is more to the question is really suggesting, is there an underlying problem of racism or xenophobia that leads to somebody who's either a foreigner, non-citizen, or an ethnic Indian Malaysian to be more likely to be mishandled or abused in a custody, therefore resulting in these higher numbers? I mean, I think that is the thrust of the question.
I don't think so that certain people or certain race or ethnicity are being targeted. It so happens that those are the people who are basically from the lower strata of society and they are the marginalized. And basically, there is no conclusive proof that certain races are being targeted in that manner.
Right.
For as far as EDIC can say.
Right. So, what does EDIC from EDIC's perspective? What is justice for the victims and for their families? What does that look like? And when you're advocating on behalf of the families, how what challenges have you found in your past experiences?
Basically, when we go through the inquest proceedings, that's when we try to get as much information to get relevant documents and evidence otherwise not given to the families in other cases. So an inquest is very, very important that the families have a right to participate in the proceedings and to gain access. And this would be useful for the purposes of civil suit against any of the tortfeasors for damages. So later on, the family may bring an action against the perpetrators, alleged perpetrators for damages. And basically, that is how we find that having an inquest is a very important procedure and step to be taken when it comes to debt in custody.
Klang MP Charles Santiago has called for the National Human Rights Commission and the Enforcement Agency Integrity Commission, EAIC, to take a lead in this investigation. I think he was referring specifically to Sivabalan Subramaniam. But could you tell us, have the police ever allowed Suhakam and EAIC to take the lead?
Okay, under the Human Rights Commission of Malaysia Act, Suhakam, Section 4 and Section 12, it says that Suhakam may inquire into such human rights infringement. And also the Enforcement Agency Integrity Agency, the EAIC, they are empowered to conduct their own investigations into any human rights infringement. But we feel that the law is very clear. The law is settled that only the Criminal Procedure Code, that an inquest should be held when somebody dies. So, I mean, there are other mechanisms, but we feel that the law should take its course under the Criminal Procedure Code.
Yeah, Andrew, are the police, you know, open to being investigated under the law? I'm just wondering whether they participate willingly, they're quite open in terms of sharing and wanting to provide accountability for deaths that happen under their watch.
Okay, as we can see, usually the police will come out with a police statement when somebody dies in custody. But however, when you don't have an inquest, you don't have an inquiry process, then a lot of things are being swept under the rug. And only during an inquest where you get to inquire how certain things has happened, only then we can ascertain what is the cause of that, and who might be the person who are criminally concerned in the cause of death of a person. So this is why a coroner is very important. A coroner's court is very important, because the coroner needs to inquire how and what, in what manner that the deceased came to his death.
Yeah, Hindran, in your own experience, has an inquiry ever led to reforms within a particular precinct, within a particular institution, say if the cause was a medical negligence, if that was the thing? Have you seen any positive change coming out of these things, apart from the ability of the victims and their families to sue for compensation?
To be honest, there are cases during inquests and during civil proceedings where the court has found negligence on the part of police. Later on, we find that such police officers actually been promoted and so forth. So we don't see any stern actions being taken against the perpetrators or the officers involved in custodial deaths. Unfortunately, that is what we have seen so far. And that is why... Yes.
Yes. Oh, sorry. Please finish your thoughts.
Okay. Because I was saying that the IPCMC, the Independent Police Complaints and Misconduct Commission, should be set up to investigate cases of this kind of cases of abuses by or misconduct by the police. So that's why the IPCMC is very important.
Completely agreed. And we're going to be talking about the IPCMC in just a few minutes. Yoendra, first, thank you so much for joining us on the show, and we appreciate your time and your insights. We're going to take a quick break here on Consider This, but more on this topic in just a couple of minutes. So stay tuned.